The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome to It Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres speaking. With me in the studio, oddly enough, I have Herman Shemsinertia.
Oh, God, thank you.
Lovingly called Shemsinertia, that is. And on the phone, we have our very own Hassan Godwin.
Hi, Mark.
You don't say hi to Herman Shemsinertia?
Hi, Hassan.
Oh, hello, Shemp.
And gingerly walking into the studio
security.
Right now, we have our very own... Charlie Saladino, who's still walking very gingerly, and I'll say hi. I'll say hi for him.
Hello, Mark. Can't tell anybody I'm sneaking in.
Well, they can see you sneaking in on.
Is he ginger? It doesn't really look like he's moving.
Charlie,
gingerly.
You're not on his show tonight.
He's you can actually see him on the high definition web camera, which is on the website for the radio station. For those of you who can't listen to us on the radio. It's www.am1240wgbb.com, and you can actually hear us on live audio streaming and see us right now for those of you who are watching us live. Those of you who are listening to us in the future, which is us in the past, won't be able to. You got all
good
that?
For them.
Good for them? No, not
yeah,
good
for them.
Listen, I want to tell a funny story before you start. It's very short. I went to get an oil change for the car
no
today. That's hysterical. Oh, wait, listen. So they're working on a DeLorean. They have a DeLorean there. A classic DeLorean.
Oh my
god. So I said to the gas station, you know, John, contender, I says, "Can I borrow this to go to the future to see what the lottery numbers are and I'll come back?" You know, go back 6 hours in the future to see what the lottery numbers
okay,
are.
Okay, here's the problem.
That's pretty funny.
That was hysterical.
you can't say this is funny because 9 times out of 10, it's not.
It's funny.
You can't look funny. At Trev. He's off the chair over there.
He's setting everybody
he's like
up
hysterical.
For a fall. That's the problem.
Is that
that's
what it
the
is?
Problem. You're setting people up for a fall. You can't tell them it's funny.
All
it
right.
Raises their expectations.
That was pretty clever. I was going to take the DeLorean. We were all going to be rich.
So let me take it away with the news.
I think you should take it away with the news, Mark.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think so.
As we've been doing for the past couple of months, we're going to start with the sad news first.
Womp, womp, womp.
Let's see. Former Wizard copy editor, Mark Wilofsky, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing his name, has passed away this week. This news is, for me personally, sad, extra sad, because he and I have crossed paths many a times at comic cons. And was an all-around great guy. He also worked for Soap Opera Digest as a copy editor, as well as the New York chapter of Friends of Lulu, which was the organization for women in comics in the late 90s. The press release reads, "I doubt there is a single person who ever met Mark who would not agree that he was one of the sweetest, kindest, gentlest people on the face of the earth. He always tried to stay upbeat, even when life dealt him reverses. Supported everyone around him with kind words, and through all his quirks, he was a copy editor after all, remained a good soul. I am so shocked to learn of his early passing, and I hope he got some of the happiness now that he deserved in life. He was only 42.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very weird, like when you know somebody,
yeah.
Like, you know, acquaintance,
you.
And
it's
really...
And it's always bad when the nice people go. When the SOBs go, I don't give a damn. But when the nice people go,
yeah, that's
that's really
that's
a
why
loss
Charles
for
Manson's still living. Believe in it.
Okay. Moving on to more sad news.
Go ahead.
Larry Hagman, best known for his role as J.R. Ewing of Dallas, died on Friday.
And
I'm going to get to it.
Go.
Who shot him?
Jeez. He died on Friday of complications from his battle with throat cancer.
Right.
Dallas, which premiered in CBS in 1978, lasted 14 years and also spawned a revival of the show this right. year with yeah. Larry Hagman and the rest of the cast reprising their roles.
Right.
He was 81. Wow. Now, of course, as Charlie alluded to, he's also famous for being in I, Dream of Jeannie, the lead, Sergeant Major Nelson,
Anthony Nelson.
Anthony Nelson. I never remember his first
yes,
name.
Yes, I do.
And Jimmy Fallon's
me
remaking it.
Me and Tony were close.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Now, Anthony Nelson.
And Jimmy Fallon's remaking it.
Of I, Dream of Jeannie? Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say that he's remaking Dallas. No, like,
yeah, that's because, as we say, Herman, Hollywood doesn't have any good ideas.
Well...
Well, Kate Hudson, that's...
We all don't say that. Herman says it mostly.
So, yes.
They don't have, like, good
81.
Ideas.
81. Can you imagine that? 81.
81. 19 years away from the letter.
Yeah. That's
there
something.
You go.
So, moving on to some good news. Well, I guess regular news. I don't know if it's a good news.
Wait a minute. Let me just go back.
Yes.
Hudson is going to be playing Jeannie.
Is we're that, looking at
that,
you.
That name, right? Kate Hudson, right?
Yes, that is her name. Yes, Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson is going to be playing. She's not going to fill out the top of that outfit Miss Eden did.
But Charlie, listen. Years ago, they wanted.
Oh boy.
Will Smith, Will Smith, and Halle Berry to do it.
Years ago, Will Smith was a kid.
No, that's insane. 20 years ago, I was like 5.
You just said years ago. Hassan, did you hear years ago?
Yeah, I heard years
that
ago.
Would have been funny.
That was hysterical.
I heard years ago. Will Smith. Rewind the tape. Yeah.
Will Smith and the other guy from Bad Boys. What's his name? What's his name? His partner.
The other guy from Bad Boys.
That was his name. Playing like Major Healy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Why? Right. Never mind.
What else, Mark?
So speaking of shows that are coming back.
Mr. Segway.
For all of you fans of the show Boy Meets World, it turns out that a new spinoff of the show is being made for the Disney Channel.
Wait, they're fans of Boy Meets World?
There are at least one.
And the name is Boy Meets World Still Sucks.
the show.
That's the name of the show, right?
My kids like that. My kids like that, sir.
The show is called Girl Meets World, and it will follow the preteen daughter of Corey Matthews and Topanga Lawrence. Ben Savage and Danielle Fischel, the original cast members, have already signed on to reprise their roles.
They're
going to
be the teachers, right?
Oh, my God.
As the parents.
They literally, that's the show. That's one of the shows they dust off and decide that needs a follow-up.
Yes.
Of all the shows that come on television, Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets World. The show ran for 7 seasons, so that's not Whistling Dixie. It's
and
seven
actually,
seasons.
Actually,
seasons. There's a ton of shows that you just talked about. Dallas, it ran for 14. So that's no
they brought
big
that
deal.
Back.
That sounds right.
Thank you. I completely agree with Herman.
Now we know the world's coming to an
end. There's no ideas in TV. I changed my mind.
Now it's TV. We lowered it to TV. All right, well.
In media.
So I have never seen an episode of this show. You said your daughters like it, right?
They love that show.
Did you ever watch
it? They were growing up.
That spawned the amazing, talented, what is his name? Mario, what's his name?
That's Saved by the Bell.
Well, what's Boy Meets World?
Boy Meets World, that was with
what's
William
his
Daniels,
name's brother?
The voice of Kit, yes. His name's brother?
Well, that even more sucks because I thought it was...
When I used to watch
the other show.
When I used to watch Saved by the Bell, I said, those girls, they're not 17 years old. They got to be old.
Okay. So this wasn't the other sucky show I was thinking, Save It.
No,
this is the even sub-suckier show that I even never knew about. We won't be watching that show.
That's hilarious. You thought it was... That's hilarious.
He
that's
thought amazing. It was another sucky show.
All right, what page are you on, Joe? I'm on page 4. What
he
page
like,
are you on?
That show was terrible. Oh, yeah.
He didn't realize that the suckiness of this show exceeded the suckiness of the show he thought it was before.
Right. We went to...
That's
right. If you listen to my comments, we went to sub-sucky.
That's like Kelly Ripa didn't know who Harry Belafonte was. Kelly Ripa.
Don't talk about Kelly Ripa.
I'm sorry. She's
Don't talk about her.
She commands no talent.
I don't see
don't talk about her.
Unless you're saying that the people in Boy Meets World have no talent. Is that what
you're saying? I don't know what just happened.
Now, wait a minute.
Charlie didn't know what show we were talking about. That's what
we went to the segue of the dark side. getting away from Kelly
Come
Ripa.
On, go on.
Wasn't that guy, now, wasn't the Subsucky show, wasn't he the brother of some star?
The Wonder Years. He was a Fred Savage.
Oh, see, now I like that show.
Was a Ben Savage from the Wonder Years.
Oh, okay.
Like when Richard Driver's
and
is
it
a talk
also
over.
Had William Daniels, who played the voice of Kid. And he's still alive. I wonder if he's going to make a cameo.
No, Richard Driver's was the voice.
Richard Dreyfuss wasn't the voice
of Kid. Richard was not the voice of Kid.
No, not Kid. I'm sorry.
Yeah, good thing we're on the same page.
What's
you're Frank thinking said? About Stand
Wonder
By
Years.
Me.
The Wonder Years, yeah.
You're thinking of Stand By Me, not the Wonder Years. Okay. I don't think he was the voice of the Wonder Years.
Daniel Stern was the guy in the voice of Wonder Years.
Okay. Richard Dreyfuss was the voice of Stand By Me. He was the voiceover.
All right. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So yeah, you should be.
So anyway, William Daniels, who is still alive, might reprise his role as Mr. Feeney, who played the teacher.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
He should be the dean of that place.
Wait. Who is he? Who is this guy?
He played like the dean in the show. He was on that show, Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay.
If you ever saw it, and he was
still talking about Boy Meets the Monkey.
Well, sort of in a roundabout way, we are.
Monkey meets jungle.
Yeah. Sucky meets subsucky.
Yeah, exactly.
Subspecies. That was a good movie.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? This needs a follow up.
Yes.
20 years from now, they're gonna listen to It Came From the Radio. And go, this show needs a follow.
But could you?
We gotta bring all these guys back.
Hassan, could you imagine that boardroom? Like, this show sucks so much. Let's bring it back. Yeah, damn good idea. That's why you get the big bucks, Ted.
Yeah.
What about that other kid, Angus Beef? What's his name?
I'm gonna get to that. Oh, okay. I'm gonna get to that.
Angus Jones?
Angus Beef.
I'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, my God.
First, we have one more bit of news before I get to that one. According to sources, quote, unquote, on the website HitFlix, actor Joseph Gordon-Levitt is rumored to have been cast in the new Justice League movie, as well as having a cameo in a new Superman movie as, of course, Batman.
Mm.
Really? Okay.
Okay.
We're not going to get Christian Bale.
No, the Justice League movie is going to be crap because it's going to be a ripoff of the Avengers. And, you know, they're going to stick.
We understand your pain.
Superman.
The Avengers are crap.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is not Bruce Wayne, so it's not going to have the same impact of him running into Clark Kent in the Superman movie. The whole thing is just a hype machine. It's crap.
He's right.
Wow.
Move on.
I thought there'd be less hatred for that bit of news.
That's plain crap.
We should have a segment called Hype and Crap.
Hassan, yeah. What do you really mean?
Yeah, is it hype or is it crap?
Yes.
I think you should head that little
segment, Hassan.
We're mean tonight.
I will. Your recommendation, I do now add it from the desk of Hassan Godwin.
Excellent.
Why is it my
hype
desk?
Or crap.
Or both. It could be both.
Yeah. Hype or crap.
Both. From the.
Yeah.
All right.
The deaths of Saladino and Godwin.
Yeah,
sometimes we have a joint death.
That's
sometimes
right. I'll be reading the papers next week.
Sounds like two. It sounds like two lawyers. We're gonna break your neck.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh God.
Go ahead.
thank you. I'm here.
And finally, from the desk of Herman Schnurch, alluded to earlier. this is a whole page. Look, there's a whole page of news. All right.
Don't read the whole page.
In a recent online interview, Two and a Half Men star Angus T. Jones begged his fans to not watch his show anymore, claiming that it was quote-unquote filth and now goes against his religious beliefs.
Did she?
Wait.
What do you mean religious beliefs?
Hold it.
Yes.
Before you continue, here's an important question.
Yes.
Did he quit the show?
He did not quit the
show.
No,
he likes the money.
He's on the contract.
So he hasn't quit the show.
Now it gets better.
He cannot quit the show.
It gets better. I noticed.
Watch what he makes.
Okay.
I apologize. Please continue. Please.
He says, "It is very weird being on a television show, especially now that I'm trying to walk with God, because my television show has nothing to do with God and doesn't want anything to do with God. It's a strange position that I am put in.
Oh,
I'm under contract for another year, so it's not too much of a decision on my part. I know God has me there for a reason, for another year.
Is he a Mormon?
He's not
a Mormon.
Okay. Well,
if God put him there for a reason to be on the show for another year,
yeah,
then why would God put him on the show to be there for another year if the show was filth and no one should be watching it?
Right.
I cannot speak for
him. I'll tell you why. Because
he misses Charlie Sheen bringing his call girls to him.
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because did you see the figure he makes?
Yeah, $300,000 a show.
An episode, yeah.
And $8 million a year. That's his God.
There you go. That's why he's staying on there. Not God, because the almighty dollar.
These people are crack, these actors. They really are.
However, just a day later, after this information
this
was released.
This is the best part.
Mea culpa.
Yeah, this is the best part.
He goes on to release a new public statement. He says,
"That was the evil me from the alternate universe."
Yes,
of a bizarro
world.
Two half men.
It's like the Star Trek episode.
Yeah, it's his show in the alternate universe, the one and two half men, and he's got a goatee and a
right
world mustache and stuff right. like that.
So he goes on to say. I have been the subject of much discussion, speculation, and commentary over the past 24 hours. While I cannot address everything that has been said or write every misstatement or misunderstanding, there is one thing I want to make clear. Without qualification, I am grateful to have the highest regard and respect for all the wonderful people on Two and a Half Men
who write this
for
filth
whom
and
I have
disgusting stuff
over the past 10 years.
Chuck Lorre, Chuck Lorre's great.
An extension of my family. Chuck Lorre, Peter Roth, and many others at Warner Brothers and CBS are responsible for what has been one of the most significant experiences in my life to date.
Oh, God.
I thank them for the opportunity they have given and continue to give me, and the help and guidance I have to expect to continue to receive from them.
Mm.
Also,
he was on this show, this show for 10 years, right? Ever since he was a kid.
Right.
Little kid,
and then
baby.
The big star, the main attraction, arguably the main attraction of the show, freaked out himself and has, a lunatic moment, drinking too much wolf's blood or whatever.
Correct.
And
correct.
He has to Tiger's leave the blood. Show. He gets fired.
He gets fired from the show.
And they replace him, all people, with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, that guy. Waste.
Right. Okay? They replace him. They replace the lead of the show with Ashton Kutcher. And the show's still going strong. Still on. It's going to have another season.
Right.
Because he's contractually obligated to do it. So we know for a fact it's going to last another year. And he's complaining and telling his fans not to watch the show.
Yeah, right.
He made enough money, Hassan.
No, nobody. See, this is the thing. No, there's no such thing as making enough money. That's A. B, it's just the lunacy that happens to these people who don't have to worry about anything and have everything handed to them.
You're right.
Okay? And have bags of money delivered to their doorstep. And then they lose their minds and get these religious fervors and stuff like that. And instead of just keeping their enlightenment and their rapture to themselves, so that they, for their own nourishment, for their own spiritual well-being, they have to go out and trash everything that and make everyone aware of what their opinion is and how important their opinion is, and what he's not even nobody else in that show. Well, the other two people probably get paid the same amount of money, and not everybody on that show gets paid the same amount of money.
Correct.
You know, the producer of the show, the people who do craft services, the makeup, the hair and makeup artists and stuff like that, they don't make half as much as what this kid makes. And he's trying to trash their jobs because he's had a come to Jesus moment and decided that his show that's made him relevant enough for us to give a darn about what he says in the first place, all right,
you're right.
Is filth. It's ridiculous. We shouldn't even have addressed that.
And nobody
show.
Should be listening to him anyway. He's a kid.
The thing that I found...
They're changing the title. It's Two Men and an Ugly Kid.
He's named after a beef.
The thing that I found interesting... what I found most interesting is that he just did a turnaround in 24 hours. Like, what... happened that
I'm not surprised he did again because
you know, I'll tell
agent,
you exactly what happened.
Says you'll never get work again in this town. You sound like a freaking lunatic. This show had enough freaking lunatics on it. Get back up there and tell everybody you're sorry. I don't care what you believe or what you don't believe. This is a business.
Exactly. Mom and Dad, Chuck Lorre, everybody was in the room going, "What the hell were you thinking?" and read them the riot act, like Hassan said. And they painted him a picture of what his life's going to be like on Skid Row because he doesn't have an ounce of talent, you know. So, and then all of a sudden, he got... Not God, he got chikung. And he went in there and he did the apology.
I think
No, I didn't mean that.
Well, just like Tom Cruise pushing his Scientology stuff, you know?
Well, it's fine to believe in what you want to believe in. Don't preach it. Don't give me your opinions. I believe in what I believe in. You believe in what you believe in.
I believe in the
and
creature.
As long as we're nice and we're decent to human beings, I don't care what the hell you believe in.
Do you remember in the old days?
Yes, I do.
Whenever people never said bad things about their show or what they were on, or
because,
else they were gone.
Because in the old days, they didn't make a quarter of what these brats make, and they were very happy with that.
I am reminded of
Fresh
a
story.
Prince,
it was on
Fresh
a night
Prince,
just like now.
The woman who played the mother. She badmouthed Will Smith.
That's right.
And then the next day, she was gone. There was no apology.
She
was just gone.
There was just
you
a big.
Don't do that.
Thick
it
is.
Oh, yeah.
Was
there
it.
Was just a like, mother on Fresh Prince,
just,
wasn't she?
Just like Richie Cunningham's brother.
Her, right? She was a completely different woman like one year.
Yeah, they switched the actress out because she said something bad about Will Smith, and that was the end of it. But it's so weird that now it seems like that's the norm to trash.
Yeah.
The hand that feeds you so much so. And then you can come back 24 hours later because of the way the world is set up.
Amazing.
To apologize like, and it's all right.
Well, Charlie Sheen took it to the end. I think Charlie slipped Angus some tiger milk or something, tiger blood, whatever he was drinking.
Yeah, drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. You gotta be wolf blood. Drink this. Drink this wolf blood.
Yeah, drink this. Nothing will happen to you. Oh, let me try it. I ate the show!
He turned it to Skull Rider. What's the name of that movie? Skull Rider? What's
Ghost
name?
Rider?
There it goes. Well, that story's ruined.
The person who I feel worse for in this whole mess.
I'm not going on anymore.
You know who's the worst person? Poor John Cryer. This man has not said a single.
I know, he's getting beat.
He's just sitting there.
Yeah,
like,
he's kept his mouth shut the whole time.
For both times, he's just sitting there. I'm just counting my money.
I could just see him hearing this Angus comment and just going to the bottle of scotch going, please, please.
Both my stars have freaked out and they're lunatics now and they're completely crazy. And I'm stuck here. You know,
and
trying to get another year out of this because I want to make another $8 million.
Hassan, John Cryer said, "Now you." That's what he said.
And you know, I'm sure Ashton Kutcher is going to be the next one to go.
Well,
he should have went a long time ago after the '70s show.
But, that was all good stuff.
That guy, kissed the ground that he walks on.
You know what? He does.
All right.
He does.
He was a model. Had the hots for him and put him in TV.
Yeah, but Herman, why are you mad at the guy?
I think it's a circus with no talent.
But you know what, Herman?
I'm tired of it.
Herman, you have no talent. And if somebody came up to you.
I have no talent.
Yeah, you can't. I'm saying I'm not.
I have no talent.
He's saying,
if somebody walked in and threw you in a major motion picture, you wouldn't be ready for that. But say you made money. Would you open? No, it's not the point. The point is some big producer walked in and said, "I like your look, kid. You're in an extra couple of motion pictures." And you were in three or four pictures making mounds of money, but you had no talent. You didn't know how to do anything, but you were making, You know, why is that
they
your
glorify
fault?
Glorify pornography stars. That's what they are.
But answer my questions.
What?
Answer my question.
What?
If that was the case with you, okay?
I would study my craft if they want me to be an actor. I would go to school and you know, in between and study to understand the craft.
How do you know he didn't?
He didn't. Come on.
Aiden.
Look at the movies he pushed out.
You know?
It's not the movies he pushed out. It's the movies that they give you.
Why do you think Elvis Presley hated that producer?
What the heck is happening?
I don't know what's going on.
No.
All right. We went off into another realm.
You can't answer. Elvis Presley hated those movies that he was in, but the public wanted. He had to be in the public's eye.
So then it's the public's fault.
But
it's supply and demand.
Hold it. Okay, here we go. Elvis was the king of rock and roll. He could have did anything he wanted.
He wasn't an actor.
But my point is he could have did anything he wanted. Why didn't he just refuse those asinine movies?
The agent says you have to be in the public's eye.
Was Elvis.
He could have been
on tour.
They did the same thing with Frank Sinatra.
He could have been on tour, Elvis. Elvis could have said, I don't want to do the movies. I'm going to the Hilton. Let's go. And he could have toured and made billions of dollars.
That's why these guys today ask for $20 million a movie, because they know their talent's going to run out like a faucet. It's not like the older actors.
But you're not answering my question.
Faucets don't run out.
Yeah, you're not answering.
Faucets don't run out. It's plumbing. It's perpetual.
Yeah,
it's self-perpetuating.
Don't help.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't help. But anyway,
this is the problem.
You're not answering my question.
Let him go,
Charlie. They have to fire everybody in Hollywood right now.
Just everybody.
Everybody.
We have pathetically bad actors and actresses. There's maybe a handful that are good.
I have said this many a time, and Charlie always hates the reality stars, and I say the same thing.
Yeah.
If nobody watched it.
Right.
You're right, Mark. Right.
So we can't blame
people right too.
For wanting. What did Hassan say anything?
Because he said there's stupid people out there that just that watch this stuff.
You're right.
I said that years ago.
you changed your mind?
Thank God you said this show because I was thinking, when did he just say that?
Yeah.
I know it was other shows.
He said
but
something
I'm just,
about plumbing. And I'm like, wait a minute.
But Harmon, answer my question.
Stop. What are you,
Elvis?
You got a thing for this guy?
No, I just want a simple question answered because you made a statement.
How long have you known Herman?
A long time.
And how many times has you ever gotten a straight answer for a simple question from Herman?
You're absolutely right, Mark. Forget it. Move on.
All right. So we are now ready for our break.
Yay, break.
We'll be right back with a game from the radio.
Oh, goodbye.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now here's some music. We'll be right back. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with a Came From Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres speaking. Herman Sinertia, Shem Sinertia, and Charlie Saladino with Hassan Godwin on the phone.
Through the end. The big end, the big finish.
Charlie says
sound like
show.
Star Wars.
I think Charlie said it sounds like Star Wars.
No,
that's because it was done by John Williams.
I know.
He went down a scale.
I said,
I wasn't there, so.
No, I said.
Go do it again.
Didn't the lull in there, that low part, that could have been like all the notation for Star Wars. And then he just used a different hook, you know?
Before we go into anything, I just wanted to mention that there's been a unique phenomenon. Because of all the remakes that we've had, the comic book movie remakes.
Yes.
I'm watching a movie called Inventing the Abbots right now. Well, not right now. I'm not really watching. It's on while I'm talking to you guys. And there are two Betty Rosses in this movie.
Okay.
Because Liv Tyler and Jennifer Connelly are both in this movie as sisters.
Right.
So there are two different Betty Rosses from The Hulk.
Right.
Because of remakes. And in the movie The Help, There are two different Gwen Stacy's in the movie The Help because of the Star Wars the Spider-Man remake.
Right.
Emma Stone and Bryce Dallas Howard are in the same movie, and both of them played Gwen Stacy in the Spider-Man movies. So because of the terrible remakes that have plagued Hollywood, we're now, and they're not even, these women aren't even, you know, separated by any kind of distance of age. So you've got people who reprise the roles of other people, of other peers, of people their own age. That's ridiculous.
You know why not? Because they don't wait long enough to remake it.
That would be it.
Yeah, Hassan's right.
That would be it. I got you the first time, Hassan. But that is amazing. You're saying something profound. That is amazing because you're absolutely right. Now every 2 years they do a remake, and you should do that. Get all those motion pictures that
the reason why they do it is because they know they messed up the first one, or the public didn't like it, and they didn't test it with the audience, and they said, "Well, let's fix it. We'll do it again."
You think?
Come on, it's bogus. It's pathetic.
Mm.
Indeed.
See, Hassan, you should have been hanging out with us when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
Because this was all over the place.
I don't think he'd be allowed to hang out when he was a kid.
In my neighborhood.
Mark used to get mad at me when we used to preview the movies. Sometimes you weren't there when we used to in Green Acres. And I used to be laughing sitting with the audience. And Mark would get mad at me. You would get mad at me. Look at this guy. He's trying to act so good. He's trying to prove that he's a good actor. And Mark, but you know that, what I'm saying. You used to get mad at me. I used to laugh behind him.
Mark knows, and the rest of the world is in the dark.
No clue what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, we're in the dark, too. Okay. Don't sell us short.
That's right. So this week, we were going to have a special guest, as we put on the website, Robert Sodaro, a good friend of the show from way back when. He had an emergency, so he couldn't call in to be a guest, so he'll be rescheduled till next year. So, because we're all booked for the rest of the year, actually, with guests, which is kind of weird. So this week, we're going to be talking about movie rules. I always find that to be a good topic of a conversation.
What?
Movie
what?
Rules.
What are you talking about?
Movie rules.
Movie rules. Rules that
like rules of the movies. Not like it rules.
I got that, Herman. I'm just I didn't hear what he said.
Things that only happen in movies despite how quote unquote real they try to be.
Oh, Herman was just talking about that.
Give us an example.
An example of something that pops into my head instantaneously.
You talking about anything jumping the shark?
No, not jumping the shark. Just things that are put into a movie to make movie rules. As was it Mark Twain said that fiction has to make more sense than a nonfiction.
Right.
I'm not quoting it correctly, but
like ghostwriting.
When things are being written, it has to make more sense than real life because real life doesn't make sense. But if you're making a movie, everything should make sense.
Okay.
Well, can I start?
When I was a kid.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Something occurred to me. I used to watch TVs and stuff all the time. And when I grew up and I got to learn how to drive, I was a realization that in movie rules, an actor will always fit into the car perfectly. Without having to adjust anything at all.
He's right.
And me being a tall person, if I sat in another person's car, it wouldn't work. I'd have to readjust and this, those little things like that. Or the fact that whenever someone needs a car, there's always a car around. And the idiot always happens to have his door open so they can throw people out.
And the keys in the car. Well, if there's nobody in that car, he starts the car.
Yeah, it wasn't until years later you had scenes where people who wanted to take a car, like in a parking lot, would actually look in to see if the keys were there.
Right.
It wasn't until years later you got that.
Or in Raiders of the Lost Ark, one thing that pointed out when he disguised himself as a Nazi in the submarine, the outfit didn't fit. But normally, the outfits always fit as movie rules go. Yeah.
How about the biggest movie rules in our genre? Like, nobody knew Clark Kent was Superman because he had the pair of glasses on.
Yes, poor disguises.
And also, what's her name? Wonder Woman.
Right.
Diana Prince.
Right.
Nobody knew she was Wonder Woman because she had the glasses on.
Right.
But she had a nice body, that secretary.
Okay. And so, nobody knew they were the people they were because they had a pair of glasses on.
Right, so movie rules dictate that disguises are very poor.
Yeah, well, that goes back to Shakespearean days, because the rule for Shakespeare was that all disguises worked, no matter how ridiculous they were.
Yeah.
So that's why you could get, like, burly guys with beards who dress themselves up like women, and everybody else buys it.
Or like in the Looney Tunes, where no matter what costume Bugs Bunny wore, instantly fooled everybody.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, Looney Tunes and Shakespeare. Those go hand in hand.
Yes. And I say unto you.
So you said
Doc?
I have a
what's up at Doc?
I was watching some James Bond movies over
This is what
James
we were
Bond.
Talking about.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. It's a little
talking
sweet.
About breaking the rules. I mean, those movies with Pierce Brosnan. I mean, Die Another Day. Die Another
Day.
All right. Okay,
I'm the one that messes up last night.
Right? Okay. When he has that big, that racing car, whatever, that long-looking racing car, Die Another Day, the Ice Palace, right? And he goes off the cliff, and the icebergs are melting and everything. All of a sudden, he comes up with a surfboard and parachutes, and that looks so fake.
Yeah, but the rules of the James Bond movie is that James Bond always gets out of the
Yeah, but not like that, Hassan. Come on. I mean, that's
no.
Cartoonish.
But, Herman, that's what we're saying, movie rules.
Yes.
That's breaking a rule.
What's
wrong with breaking a rule?
No, you can't break
the
rules.
We're talking about the movie rules that exist.
He had cars that went underwater and fired missiles, man. Those are all you can't take one and leave another.
He's surfing without a jacket in the Antarctic with not a hair out of
you're
place.
You're not listening. You're not paying attention.
I'm
if
not,
you have
okay.
If you have a car that can go underwater and fire missiles at helicopters, then anything's possible.
Okay.
That rule is already.
That's what we're talking about.
Possible.
Movie rules.
Right.
If
so
he can drive a car underwater and with no pressure or anything like that, driving along the seafloor and they with no ailments whatsoever, and fire missiles. And helicopters passing over.
With Caroline Monroe and
Barbara
Buck.
Certainly surf without a jacket on. You got to be able to.
Who did he fire at, Herman?
About movie rules. One of the complaints that people had about the.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but these new Bond films, and you know the Daniel Craig one, they're more realistic. They went back to the basics, nitty gritty.
But that's
because those are the rules of the new Daniel Craig versions. That the new rules that things are more realistic. That doesn't change the fact that the old rules were that everything could be campy and superhero-ish and defy common sense sometimes. I think that was the appeal
that
of the original movies.
And even in any genre, there's always the rules. But I find that the rules are so overused and they're so, and in some cases, very bad that it would detract from a movie experience.
Like what?
Well,
give me an example.
Let's see. Having with the invention of cell phones, you know, the horror writers used to have, you know, make it easy. You know, your car gets stranded, you're out in the woods, and you got problems. And now all of a sudden, there's cell phones, and the rule is that the cell phones do not work. They just
Get a signal. But
yeah,
you know, you usually can't get a signal in the woods anyway.
But in most cases, like in horror movies, just in the genre, the rule is that they have to always do something stupid. They have to have technology that would people would be, if you was in a real situation, be like, hey, why didn't they do this or why didn't they do that? You're like, well, because the technology isn't there anymore because the writers haven't figured out how to get around that yet.
And the major rule is they have to go back and check if the monster's dead instead of running the hell away.
Exactly.
Well, I always said about the haunted house movies, why are you staying in that house? Why are you lingering in that house?
So did Eddie Murphy.
No, in a way, he was right with a jokey man, you know. But why do you stay in a house like the Amityville Horror or the Grudge or the, well, I don't know. Why are you staying in a house? If this door flies open right now and a chair goes flying into the wall, you think we stay here still finishing the show? Come on.
That's exactly right. So with the shaky handheld camera, with the shaky handheld camera movies, you have to keep filming or else you ruin the movie. And that's the problem, because a lot of things is like, all right, well, if they did not follow these movie rules, there wouldn't be a movie. And I think that's a problem. I think
it depends. I think rules change. I think rules vary per genre, per story. You know, and then the thing is that the people have to become aware of the rules, have to accept the rule. Like, one of the biggest problems with the new Indiana Jones movie was that he was in a refrigerator that was in the middle of a nuclear explosion.
Right.
Everyone was like, oh, that's terrible. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But the problem is that if you watch the Indiana Jones films, a lot of stuff like that happened.
He's right.
Like, he jumped out of an airplane with a raft. And landed on the side of a mountain and then skidded down the side of a mountain and ended up in the rapids at the bottom of the mountain. And then washed right up on shore of the very village.
What about the first one? He says, Marion, close your eyes. Everybody's melting and they don't have no skin rash or no abrasions on their skin.
That's not the point. The point is, in the first one, you open a box and the lightning shoots out of it and melts you. That's kind of outrageous. That doesn't that defies reality, you know. Or the third one, where, you know, he finds his cup. He walks into this cave. There's a knight that's been there for 600 years, just sitting in this cave.
Crusade.
You know, with no newspaper, no television. So he just spent 600 years sitting there waiting for Indiana Jones to show up. He gets his cup and he's able to heal his dad from a gunshot wound. So, yeah, I think if you're going to follow that track, then he should be able to get into a refrigerator and survive a nuclear explosion.
But he healed his father from a gunshot. How come he couldn't just open the door, that guy, if he had powers?
Okay, anyway, that's my point. Those are the rules of Indiana Jones. Those are the rules of that particular genre. And it's allowable. Just like Star Wars. The rules of Star Wars is everything happens really fast, rapidly, and there's very little explanation for why most of things happen. There's one scene of exposition where someone gives a little bit of a backstory, like, you know, a little 1,000 years, the Jedi's little coffee, you know.
Yeah, but Star Wars is Star Wars. It's great.
Well, wait a minute. Just because it's great doesn't mean
it's a feel good movie, and you know you're gonna have a good time with this movie.
Herman, don't ever be on my side. We've talked about this. Okay. We've explained it. All right. the bottom line is those are the rules. If you sign on for the rules of the genre, then you have to accept that there are going to be outlandishly stupid and weird things that are going to happen. If the first three movies were outlandishly weird and crazy, but you were 9 years old when they came out, you can't be upset when you're in your 40s and the fourth movie comes out and something outrageously crazy happens.
That's right.
Doesn't make any sense. You know, so people need to stop whining and just get with the rules of the movies. And that's I segued your story. I hijacked it. I hijacked your topic to make my own point. Now I'm done.
Here's my new rule. I hate movies with kids in them.
That's not a rule. That's a declaration.
Opinion. That's my opinion. All right. I hate movies, sci-fi movies like Jurassic Park. Anything with a kid in it.
Any movie.
I'm talking about a sci-fi movie or a horror movie.
Well, you got to specify, man.
I'm sorry. I'll backtrack it. Any fantasy or whatever, way out movie, I hate movies with little kids in it. Like that little genie kid from Seven Voyages of Sinbad. I wanted to smack that kid. Right, the other kid from Indiana Jones.
The views of Mr. Sinatra.
I can't stand.
Necessarily the views.
I can't stand any movie with these stupid little kids in it. They just ruined the whole series of the movie. There was no little kids in Planet of the Apes except the Tim Burton one. That's what. Well, we could throw out
the
Tim Burton.
There was a kid in Planet of the Apes. There was a little monkey kid who noticed that Taylor was watering.
He wasn't throughout the whole film, Hassan. Like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Hassan.
There was a kid.
Yeah,
was
but
a kid in it.
It was 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's
all I'm. All
you
I'm
hate
saying.
That movie because by your own rules, which you just established, you hate movies.
He was no, it wasn't a main star kid. I'm talking about main star kids.
Oh, you didn't say about.
All
me.
Right, I'll backtrack it again.
Kid.
Yes, he's going to make a rebuttal to himself.
See, I agree
later.
With
you gotta,
that
you gotta
only.
Make a mea culpa. You got to make a retraction, like Angus Beef, boy.
Yeah. You didn't see no kids in The Godfather.
Go ahead, Charlie.
Sure you did. They were running all around the place.
Let's talk about main star kids.
Go ahead, Charlie. Yeah.
I only agree with that in one genre. I hate all the kids in the Godzilla movies with the baseball caps on. With Godzilla
that's
is
a
my
Godzilla
friend.
Too, but you know why did
Godzilla
that.
Is my friend. Are you kidding, kid?
That's another rule that you would think about would be
all the monsters left the kids alone. They like the kids in the
nuclear,
Godzilla movie.
Nuclear weapons, if they use them in the beginning of the movie, will never work.
Right.
No matter what, like,
they will
right,
create that's... the monster.
Nuclear weapons basically don't work at all in sci-fi movies.
Yeah,
right.
They never work. And they're very except for Independence Day, which is a rare exception.
No, they used the nuclear bomb in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah,
and it didn't work.
No, but they used it in the middle of the movie and it didn't work. But then they used it again at the end of the movie and it did. So, you know, like I said, with the rare exception of Independence Day. Nukes usually never work in science fiction movies. Yeah.
And that's the rule is that they have to
right, well,
at least address it. And they're like, yeah, that's not going to work. Like that's a terrible rule.
Hassan hit the nail on the head. Every genre of movie has their rules. If you go see James Bond movies, you know he's getting out of everything. You know they're never going to kill him. You know there's going to be some outrageous way as the surf thing. He's going to get out of it. So you accept that. You know it. It's just and that goes along
up until
with
it. This one, the most recent one, and it happens in the very beginning of the film, so it's not a spoiler. If this is the first Bond movie I've seen where he got shot.
Yeah.
He actually gets shot in this film. And I think he gets shot, and it's kind of a big deal because even Daniel Craig was like, "Holy crap, I got shot!"
And the last one with the car when he gets into that accident and he gets really broken up.
Yeah,
you know, so now the public is learning to morph into the rules of the new Daniel Craig Bonds. So,
but shouldn't it be that they should not have so many set rules? They should be constantly changing and updating it to make it better, because once you have the rules and then you're going to fall back on it, it would make it predictable.
But there's many motion pictures with the rules in it. There's many pictures about dramas, real dramas. I mean, the pictures with the rules are mostly the ones, science fiction, the action films, you know. I mean, The Expendables too. Chuck Norris walked through a barrage of bullets.
I like that movie.
And I love that movie. And he walked through a bullet. But he's Chuck Norris. That's the rule. Nobody shoots Chuck Norris. And you accept that. You know no bullets, no bullets are going to hit him.
This is actually last week with our guests, Wilson Ramos and Eric Rivera, we were talking about how on TV shows, at a cop show, once you introduce that they have a family, you know, that something bad is going to happen.
Oh,
they can't have personal lives.
It's like the guy, it's like the red shirt.
Yeah. You know, the guys like in the war movies. Yeah, I can't wait to get back to my new wife. Oh, you're dead. You're gone.
Yeah, he's dead. Yeah. He's a dead man.
They did, and I keep bringing this out.
Or when they say, we'll talk after, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk right after we have this soup.
Yeah, you know? Or the rule in every mystery movie. Yes, meet me on the corner. I have something to say. Yeah, he's never making the corner. Or if he makes the corner, he's going to be up against the pole dead or something. You know?
But having these things, doesn't that, like I said, take away?
They're rules.
It doesn't take away.
No.
But Mark is saying he wants surprises once in a while. That's what he's saying.
People like uniformity. That's the problem. That's a big trick of it. People want to be dazzled. They want to see something new, but they want to see something new that's familiar.
Yeah. And when they like the character, they don't want to see reality. They don't want to see a bomb going off in his navel or something like that, whatever.
You know, it's going to be a good movie, Hitchcock.
That's why Han Solo got away with wearing the same vest in 3 movies.
Yes, that's right.
Then Billy Dee Williams wore it.
Yeah. And the same clothes.
Yeah, nobody ever notices that he wore it at the end of Empire Strikes Back. Like, what?
Yeah, got
his clothes on.
I think it's the uniform for flying the Millennium Falcon.
Or like
Falcon
when
uniform.
Yeah.
You can't fly the Falcon unless you have a black and white vest on.
Yeah, it's the rule. He had him in the closet.
Yeah. Or else here's the big rule. Here's another big rule. In all those prehistoric movies, 1 million years BC, the girls were perfectly groomed, shaven legs.
Oh, you want to see a hairy girl?
No arm, arm thing. Those are the rules. And
Laser.
And
bikini
they
wax.
Didn't smell bad either.
Right. And
they were hot. They didn't smell bad.
When I watch it, that's what I think. How bad is that whole tribe smelling right now?
No, but that's what
I watch.
That's what Ray Harryhausen said in his interview. He says, you know, if the girls look like that years ago, we really didn't progress good.
Right, but that's what I'm bringing out is that's a rule. You're not going to make.
That's Hollywood.
We're just bringing this out, Armin, that's one of the rules.
You want to see Raquel?
Why do I go there? Why do I freaking go there?
You fell into the trap. You fell into the Herman rules. You fell into the Herman rules of what happened. Yes. That's what it was.
Yeah, those are the rules. Herman's going to cut you off and say something completely off topic.
And now for something completely different.
Let me just put a cap on it. That's why 1 million ESBC still on the shelves of Best Buy, and all the movies that you guys watched 4 years ago and up to now is in a basket.
He's taking this personal.
Well, I didn't say anything
bad about the movie.
I'm just teaching you what's
he's teaching me now.
Tarnished.
I didn't say anything bad about the movie, and he's been like
every
you
movie
know,
you saw.
He produced
every,
this movie.
No. Every movie you saw from 1985 to now is will tarnish.
1985. Yeah. What? Why? All right. Listen. I got it.
Don't ask him. What are you doing?
No. I got to.
I always come out right.
I have to. What happened in 1985 that the movies just started sucking all the way till now?
Movies just started tearing. You got all these yuppie college directors.
What happened?
The yuppie college directors.
They're real good.
There was like a union called Yuppie College Directors Are Us.
Oh, they're real, real good. That we have to believe them. You know,
1984.
That goes
for
Spielberg.
Yeah, local YCD.
You know, that goes to Spielberg and George Lucas. Don't forget, George Lucas.
1984, everything was great. Movies were pristine, Shakespearean entertainment form.
What?
Yep.
And then 1985, it all just went bloop, and I just like, flipped the switch. Pandemonium.
Mark and Hassan, you didn't even scratch the surface. All the movies I saw in my life. And see how deteriorated Hollywood.
But that
you guys are babies.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you babies.
No, you guys are babies.
I'm not a baby. I'm older than Armin.
Oh, you guys are babies to this.
Right, I wish I was a baby. I'd be getting fed for free.
All right. We got less than 3 minutes to go, so we're going to do the final thoughts. Hassan, do you have any final thoughts?
I don't have any final thoughts. None at all.
Charlie.
Herman, do you have a final thought?
Yeah. Tell these young directors, like the guy who directed Clash of Titans, to go back to school and educate themselves and stop making every movie that looks like an MTV video.
That's a directive, not a thought.
That is okay. His thought. Charlie, final thought?
Yes. Does anyone have a shrimp fork? I want to poke out my freaking eye.
My final thought is that I guess something bad happened in 1985. All movies just went downhill from there.
Pictures at 11.
Because nothing good has come after it. That's what I'm thinking right now.
1985.
See, now I have to do some research to find out what exactly happened on January 1st, 1985.
These kids got out of college and picked up a camera. That's what happened.
They don't pick up cameras. They throw the cameras now. That's a movie.
About does it for this edition of It Came From The Radio. And it's right here and every week on WGBB, Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. If you miss any part of this show, you can go online to www.itcamefromradio.com.
Why would you want to?
We'll be up in a week of show. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.